The 4Ps project is supported by the Sovereign Network Group, funding the Move On and Thrive project. To find out more, go to sng.org.uk.
Hello, I'm Sam, a 4P student, and today I'm here with Jiu-Jitsu gold medalist and Red Funnel ambassador, Corey Kent.
Hello, Sam. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Corey. So, let's start off with, what is a Red Funnel ambassador?
So, a Red Funnel ambassador is basically Red Funnel giving support to athletes so that they can do the first huddle of going over to the mainland so they can pursue their competitions, their training, their sports camps, anything to help support the athletes in achieving their dreams through sports while living and representing the island.
So they've been a very big part of your journey so far.
110%. They've really been helpful. Again, like I said, the first hurdle of any athlete here on the island and being based on the island is sadly the waters that separate us from the rest of the mainland. And obviously competitions, training camps are very heavily centred on the mainland. So to make sure that I wasn't left out, I have to regularly go to the mainland very often. And Red Funnel makes it possible for me. And that's really been the level up and keeping me in track.
So what got you into Jiu-Jitsu?
So I've always been into martial arts. And I got into kickboxing first, did that for a few years. Thought I enjoyed it, but kind of felt a love of it. I thought I'd try something a little bit different. And I saw a club open up close to my home, so I thought I'd give it a try. Did my first jiu-jitsu session, and instantly was just like a switch went in my brain and said, this is it. This is whatever I thought I enjoyed before was nothing. This is true love. And I basically just been doing it for every single day since that first session. So,
yeah. Loving it.
I love it. It's absolutely amazing.
We just talked before we started the interview about COVID. How did that affect your ability to train or stay fit?
It affected it massively because I couldn't train.
No.
So I started, my first session was started right before COVID hit.
Yeah.
So it started. So basically for a year, I didn't get to train. But I still had the love. I still had that in the back of my head, singing like, I really like this thing, and now it's been taken away from me. So when I came back after COVID, when the restrictions came off and I was able to do jiu-jitsu classes, I kind of was like so amplified in like my desire to learn it that I kind of felt like it kind of excelled me and really committed to me like to do it. Because if a year you can't do it and then suddenly you're still wanting to do it as much as the first day, that kind of is a good sign that this is something you're going to love.
Yeah. What is your favourite achievement or your best achievement so far in jiu-jitsu?
That's a really good question. I really enjoy that question. It's easy to talk about my achievements in competitions because I'd say my top achievement so far in competition has been becoming ADCC Pro British Champion, which it was a division, and it was a division full of black belts, and I'm only a purple belt, and I won that competition and became the British pro champion, which was unbelievable. I cried after that match because I couldn't, it was like, the math didn't work out, if that makes sense.
The math didn't work out,
how could I won that, and I won it, so yeah, I had a few tears of joy and everything, that was probably my greatest achievement in competition. But if you're talking about outside of jiu-jitsu, it's great to just have an effect on people. I hear all the time people that, like, I go to competitions and they know who I am, and I've never met them, but they know who I am from the social medias or just knowing me, and knowing I have that effect on people, that they are having an impact on people and people are recognizing me, it's sort of an achievement I never thought I would have before I started doing the sport. So that's quite a special achievement.
Yeah, I expect you're a major inspiration to autistic people, and because of course yourself, you are autistic, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And when did you find out you were autistic?
Well, I didn't find out. I always knew I was autistic because my mum got me diagnosed at the age of 3. So I've always known I was autistic.
Very young.
So I've always grown up with autism and like having a very crisis in my head every day about who I am as a person and how does my autism affect me? Why can I not do things the same as the other kids in the playground? Because it's scary for a primary school kid. Because I can remember in primary school being so confused about why I couldn't do things and other kids could do things.
Yeah.
Just and not understanding why I had these barriers. And it's quite scary for a kid. So I have really So I do feel when I hear stories from kids having problems with autism and everything like that. But yeah, I've had it throughout my life. But since I found jiu-jitsu, it kind of gave me more of appreciation. I came to be more accepting of my autism. Like before, I started all jiu-jitsu when I was about, I think 21. But that was sort of like the year after doing jiu-jitsu that I kind of accepted being an autistic individual, and I joined an organization called Fighting for Autism. I became one of their ambassadors and everything like that. And then I started being more open with my autism, and suddenly autistic people were coming towards me, sort of looking at me for advice and everything. And then it felt like, okay, maybe this is good. This is the right path I'm taking now. Because the first thing for people to do is you got to learn to love yourself before you can expect people to love you. So, you know, if you're listening to it and you're autistic as well, it's just like, no one hates you or dislikes you because of your autism. They legit just do something that makes yourself happy to look yourself in the mirror. And then when you have a joy and you are filled with love and filled with life, people will come to you and they'll be full of love and life. So I really hope that, I hope I'm explaining myself well. And
that's an amazing piece of advice. And I'm autistic myself and I completely agree. Like, it's easy to get in the back of your mind, like, oh, are people seeing me this way or that way? But you just got to remember that just because you have these labels or titles, it will not make people see you differently.
No, it will not. And the people that do see you differently and treat you wrong, that's a good thing, because it tells you that's not the people you want to be around.
Yeah. That's a good thing. It shows who they are.
It shows who they are, and that shows you don't need to be with them. And it's hard. It's hard to be let down. It's hard to put your trust in people or interact with people and be let down because of their actions. But it's not just autistic people have to deal with it. It's people. It is a sign of an adult, adult and growing up, and everyone has that problem. Everyone gets let down by people. But
definitely,
you know, just keep doing yourself, doing what you want to do, and happiness begins with yourself before you bring happiness to other people.
Yeah, definitely. So how many hours and days do you train or spar?
Right, so that's so at the moment I'm injured, so it's gone a little bit down, but I am still trying. I am training every day, but it's sort of like, to a degree, I'm being not as strict as, I'm not being as extreme as I used before the injury, because before the injury I would train, like, probably because I do weightlifting as well to help build strength and prevent injuries by strengthening myself. It'd be roughly about 3 hours every day would be like I roughly train. And then when I'm not training, I'm watching like instructional tutorials and everything like that, or listening to the top level athletes in my sport and seeing how they do techniques and just studying athletes and everything like that. So it's pretty much a full-time job, the way I'm treating it.
So is there anything specific you have to do while you are injured? Because I know, like, sometimes footballers have to do things to...
Yeah, so I went to see physio yesterday, and the man was really good. He's got me to do some exercises to help strengthen the ligament. It's just at the moment, I've got no pain. It's just unstable at the moment, which for jiu-jitsu is not quite good. I really want to... It doesn't build confidence for me.
No.
So I just want to strengthen. So he's getting me to do some single leg exercises and different exercises to... sort myself out and get myself up to 100%, because I've got some matches and competitions later this year that I really want to do, and I need to be 100% to be confident for those matches.
I expect it's hard not to push yourself too hard when you have that passion and that.
Mate, it's the hardest thing in the world. It's the hardest thing in the world. I'm just sitting there miserable. Like the first time when the injury was too bad and I couldn't spar, I just had to watch people spar while I just sat down and watched people. Oh, it was torture. It was legit torture. It's like watching a puppy that you couldn't pet. It's like watching a puppy.
What's your favourite thing to do when you have to have downtime and you can't spar?
Oh, that's good. Usually spend time with my girlfriend and loved ones, and like, you know, she's really... I like spending time with her, and usually we like to do stuff in, like, you know, just simple, nice things. I'm quite a chill guy. I'm not really... I was never a party animal. I was never like a... let's go out boozing and sort of thing. I'm quite happy with like going out for a coffee, going having a little walk, you know, and watching some films and all that sort of stuff. I play some video games. I still play video games. That's the only thing that the Corey from before jiu-jitsu and Corey after jiu-jitsu still do. We still play video games.
What's your favourite?
Oh, God, that's a good question. You know, I do, Adam, I'm liking, I like Skyrim, I do. Mm. I do like Skyrim.
Good game.
It is a good game, yeah. But, yeah, I'm playing some games at the moment. I just finished, like, Yakuza, that Japanese game.
Yeah.
It takes forever to beat.
I've heard that's a long one.
It's very long. Yeah. I got the remaster one, so it was, like, Yakuza 3, 4, 5. Actually, no, 2, 2, no, I think it was 3, 4, yeah, 3, 4, 5, yeah. But I think I was on it for like a month trying to be it.
Is there any games or films that like inspire you with martial arts?
No, not really.
Not Karate Kid or anything? Well, no, obviously not Jiu-Jitsu.
It's not the same sport. The only thing I could think of would really correlate would probably be the UFC fighting games because they do Jiu-Jitsu in that game. Mm. But no, not really. Video games is sort of like my away time to keep me just have something outside of Jiu-Jitsu so I'm not going too crazy and just constantly breathing and talking jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, just having that break and that.
Yeah. I like to have a game where I can just shoot and like do all that sort of stuff. Ping's completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your biggest inspiration in jiu-jitsu?
In jiu-jitsu, that's be a really good question. There's a lot. I like to think I can learn something from everyone. So I have many different people I look at for inspiration and to learn techniques and how to do it. When I was and going through the Brooke bands, my thing would be Roger Gracie, who's one of the all-time greatest jiu-jitsu athletes in the sport. I'm a big fan of him. I think he's the only one that if I met him in person, I would be actually shaking, like trying to shake his hand. My hand would be wobbling back and forth, sort of thing. That'd probably be that sort of thing. But you know, it's there's a lot of people I look up to, and I feel like I can learn something from everyone on that.
Is there any jiu-jitsu in the Olympics? And is there a future for jiu-jitsu in the Olympics at all?
You know, it's a very controversial opinion in jiu-jitsu. Mm. Where there's a lot of people that don't want jiu-jitsu in the Olympics because they're worried it might be ruined because they have to change the rule set to make it more appealing to the Olympics. It's similar to what they did to the judo. If you know anyone that does judo, they probably would say it's been ruined because of the Olympics. So people... Me personally, I like the idea of it being the Olympics. I feel like that would be great. If it was an Olympics, I'd definitely put my name down for it and try to do it. You know, it should be the dream of any athlete to represent their country in such a big international stage. That's the goal of me, at least. I love the idea of being able to represent my country in such a big stage.
It also could be beneficial and inspirational for people to watch that on the TV and watch these things that you do and then think, oh, I could give this a try as
110%.
Well.
110%. I think that the biggest responsibility we have as athletes in the sport is to promote the sport and make sure it grows for the next generation. And just like, you know, we shouldn't be holding it for ourselves. We should be trying to build a sport so that the people are coming up can then have a better chance of us. Like, you know, I might achieve something now, but... When I'm a coach later down the line, I want my students to be better than me. I want them to have more medals than me. I want them to be breaking records, and I feel like that's how it should be. You don't build on your own. It's from the past people before you that build you up. So you should be building the next lot.
And getting those opportunities as well and getting more opportunities for
100%.
Because you don't hear a lot about jiu-jitsu. You may hear about other martial arts and other sports, but jiu-jitsu kind of. I'd say it goes under the radar, which...
Yeah, you're right. You're very right. It's like a much more... I feel it's a great shame that many people don't know about my sport in particular. You know, I don't blame people, you know. You talk to anyone in the street, you know, go outside and talk to anyone in the street and say football, everyone knows what you talk about.
Yeah.
It's weird if you don't know what football is, but if you talk to them and say what jiu-jitsu is, I'd be very shocked if you find anyone that knows what jiu-jitsu is.
And you can only know what you hear.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not their fault. It's a young sport. Jiu-Jitsu is only about like over 100 years old, the sport. Mm. Football, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, if someone can actually fact check me on this or like find some nerd can help me out.
It's like, about 200 years.
Yeah, 200 years. I was going to say, I thought it might be older because of the ancient variations of it.
Yeah, there are.
Because there's not much science to kicking a ball.
No.
There's not much science.
It sort of progressed over time to football, but you are right. It is kicking a ball is much older than that.
Yeah.
What diet do you need for training and fitness in general?
So basically just a really clean diet. So heavy proteins. I like to eat a lot of carbohydrates before I train because it's a very energy consuming sport. The protein is usually to help the muscle and basically recovering muscle and building on muscle. And I usually don't like to eat rubbish, really. I kind of like to eat clean 24/7 because of that.
Which I'm sure is a very good habit and helps a lot.
That's what I mean. If you eat well, you feel good.
Yeah.
And if you feel well, you perform well. That's how I see it. It's just basic math like that, sort of in my head, how it is.
Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. And
People like to overcomplicate things and sell you things, but me, I'm just a bit more simple and I'm a bit like, you know, just eat things that make you feel good. And I don't mean good in like, you know, like, good and like, oh, McDonald's makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, feel good is like, if I eat some fruit, I feel more energized and I feel more cleaner. I don't have that, like, I don't feel sick. I don't feel that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It, basically, eating stuff that's not processed as much as you can.
Just food that's.
And that's not just for athletes, that's basically for anyone I would recommend for
anyone in life.
Yeah.
Just to feel better in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. What is your next step in your career?
So next year I'm hoping to do IBJJF Euros and hopefully do ADCC trials, which are we were talking about the Olympics. They're sort of like our version of the Olympics, those two organizations. So I'm hoping to do those. If I win them, great. If I lose, great. I've learned stuff from them that, you know, they're like my expense. I don't like to think too much of fans because life gets in the way and everything, but I'm going to keep those two like things in the back of my mind as my promises to myself that I will try to achieve and keep striving for, because you need those.
What mindset do you have when you lose a match or you like come up to a bump in the road sort of thing?
Self-evaluation.
Yeah.
I don't blame people. I'm pretty happy with how I perform. I get upset, but I never blame people. It's always jiu-jitsu is a single man sport. You get a team and you got people you train with, but when you're on those mats and you're against someone and you lose, it's all like, it all comes down to you at the end of that. So it's all right. It's all right to be upset with yourself. It's all right to be disappointed. Sometimes for an hour or two, I'll be a little bit upset. I'll need people to leave me alone for a little bit just so I can process what happened. But at the end of it, I don't regret. I never come out of it regretting the fact I did that sport, the match, and I lost. I still would do it again, even knowing I'd lost, because you probably learn something new about yourself. Because in jiu-jitsu, generally, if you're going to lose, it's because someone's better than you. That's the sad truth. That's the harsh reality that people don't like to say. Even jiu-jitsu people don't like to accept that fact. You lost because someone did something better than you, or he's better than you. So then you have to look at yourself and go like, okay, he did this and that's how he won. I need to now think in my head how I can stop this from happening again. And then that will inevitably make you better than what you were before. So overall, you got to look like that. You got to look like every single experience you do in jiu-jitsu is based on me. It's worth it. Just like, and that's how I feel. I never feel upset. I never feel overly upset. I mean, I do get upset, but I don't feel bitterness or regret or anything like that. I just feel like, okay, I now know what I need to work on.
So you've been to many countries, of course, traveled to different places.
No, not countries.
Have you not been to different countries yet? Oh, okay.
Well, I have been on holiday, but not for
competition. Oh, yeah, my apologies. You've been off island a few times.
If you want to fund me to go to different countries, I'm happy for you, Sam, but...
Yeah. I mean, see what we can do. I'll talk to Ian. Ian can sort that one out.
Oh, sweet, mate.
Yeah, no worries. So, do you speak any other languages?
Sorry,
that's my fault.
Yeah.
Do you speak any Brazilian or anything? Because, of course, it's a foreign sport.
Yeah. So, they speak Portuguese in Brazil. I don't know any Portuguese. I know a little bit of Portuguese because usually when I'm refereeing, I have to speak Portuguese to say the certain words, a key phrase like luta, pao, combate, and all that sort of stuff. And for those words, combate means fight, pao means stop. I think so. I can't remember now. I just say them. And then luta means stolen. That's sort of like how I appreciate it. It's probably not how it's probably said, but...
I'm sure nobody who's listening will know the difference. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. I'm the expert now.
You made up your own language.
Yeah. No, I don't really know any language, but to be fair, most people... It's like the general theme of English, isn't it? We're quite lazy when it comes to languages, and we're quite lucky that most people speak our language rather than us having to learn theirs.
I think a lot more people from other countries put in more effort to speak our language than we put into them. 110%. Yeah, definitely.
That's why I've never had a go at anyone for struggling in language. It's like we get Brazilians trying to speak English, and they're like, oh, struggling with words. I was like, mate, your English is better than my Portuguese, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to learn Portuguese. It is a beautiful language. When I hear it, it's very beautiful how they speak and everything like that. I do like it.
Very similar to Spanish, too.
Yeah, they are a bit Spanish. I think they can I think they can understand somewhat what they say.
I think some of it isn't.
My best friend's Portuguese, and he's told me he can understand what Spanish people have to speak slowly, though. He can't do it for quickly. No.
I think I'm out of questions. So thank you for coming today and doing this interview.
I'm absolutely happy, Sam. I hope you're already happy, and I hope your listeners liked it as well, man.
And good luck for the future.
Thanks, man. You too, man.
Thank you very much.